We're happy to take any questions and discussion you have.
Thank you. Questions from commissioners? Yeah, go ahead.
So for the last mile options, how does it work? Does it need like a guided pathway for it as well too? Okay.
Yeah. So whatever mode you have along the corridor or even any of the large boulevards or things like that, we would need to create a new pathway. Of course, the rail corridor is a gift that you have today. But as you could see from the size, we would need to kind of create a relatively small, almost like a comparable bicycle path dedicated to our operations to make those extensions to Cabrillo College, et cetera.
Very interesting presentation. We have a lot of on the rail line, a lot of cross paths. Mm-hmm. Who would have the right of way, so to speak, for a stop sign there? Because there's a number of them between Santa Cruz, Watsonville, whatever.
We avoid that question. No, and let me answer. That's a little glib. Effectively, imagine a series of pedestrian scale bridges that will allow our vehicles to pass over those crossings, those grades. There may be some grade modification at those crossings. There may be kind of, we might change the number of them depending upon sort of like value and impact to the system and to the community around it. All of that is an ongoing process, but the measure itself, the infrastructure necessary to overcome those is really effectively a pedestrian bridge to allow us to leap over that.
Or go under it, right?
Or go under it. We could trench and pass underneath too.
In your project that you are building out in for the San Jose downtown to the airport, are you using a right away of the county city, or you're going through Caltrans?
Yeah, we're except for less than 5%, maybe 3% is a taking of a single parcel, one little parcel. Otherwise, we're making our way through Caltrans space, city rights of way, or the public park. One of the critical things about the project and it's our ability to go forward is the ability to go through that park. They looked at a number of other more, you know, conventional modes, light rail, trolleys, et cetera. The park just said no. The sensitivities of the habitat, the open space, the population, the activities they want to have there were utterly incompatible with those modes. But we were able to kind of come to an understanding about how the scale and our integration with the landscape makes this more of a complement to their park than it's a negative impact to it.
Thank you.
Question. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. It's good to hear from you and see you here. This is something that I've been learning about and hearing about. I see Mr. Garrett is here in the room as well, his advocate who's been teaching me. I have a question about on the operation side, just wondering, I can envision how that works with respect to infrastructure development and management, but overall, how your operations fit within the public sector transit kind of world in the places where you're developing projects?
Sure. First of all, just the fundamentals of the operations. We don't have schedules. They're all on demand. The vehicles are small scale. They're serviced in a single warehouse facility, ideally. Facility effectively. That's relatively small compared to other kind of yards for larger scale things like that. And where we connect with transit is really one of coordination and planning. So we can put these access points where there's already concentrations of intermodal stations or other stops, key locations. And then it becomes just a matter of sitting down with the local transit. And we can adjust the size of that fleet to match both the schedule and the capacity goals for the system itself. And we can then, with sort of the machine learning, the very sophisticated controls we develop to really synchronize with those surges that might come off of other transit. Definitely the case of what's happening in San Jose, where we've got multiple trains coming into Dearborn. We've been able to engineer for that so that people don't have, you know, crush loading, you know, backups and things like that. So it's an open, very flexible system.
We see this as a potential feeder for the new transit hub as well.
Yeah.
So what's the cost factor? Like not the project wise, but like someone, I'm going to go use it. How much does it cost?
So it's going to be comparable to public transit fares. That's what we're working towards in San Jose. The rides can be shared or they can be personal. And so for the personal rides, we're pricing those at about two times the fare of what a public ride would cost. But if you, you know, if you got a party of four or five, then that's pretty cost effective.
Thank you.
Questions on this end? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask if you could expand on the P3 delivery and, you know, if there is any benefits as to the contributions from local municipalities when a project is P3 delivered compared to those that are not.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's a lot to P3 public-private partnerships. Dustin had mentioned Plenary Group, Plenary North America. They're a leading DBFOM design, build, finance, maintain, and operate developer. They deliver turnkey infrastructure projects all around the United States, North America. And so part of the reason we've engaged them is because they could see in us a capital cost model that they could privately finance. As you could well imagine, when you can bring private capital to a project, because they see that there's profit to be made from that project, things can happen much more quickly on the financing and execution side. There's still, of course, a public process to kind of, you know, plan and coordinate that with all the other agencies and interests in the community, but it really does accelerate and simplify the financing side of things to the point where, in some situations, if capital costs and ridership balance, we can have a zero subsidy system, both in a cap cost and in ongoing operating costs. And you have a concession for the developer that makes them whole as well. So it really does change the game of how typical transit is being designed and engineered, financed, and executed.
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you keep the system running in terms of, you know, when some vehicles need to slow down, others speed up, and how do you coordinate all that? Do you have a central place somewhere that's monitoring all that?
Yeah, there's an operation control center that's monitoring everything, and then and it's all programmed in into the system. But Paul,
it's a system that operates intelligently at two levels. At the level, as Dustin referred, sort of the overall comprehensive fleet management system, kind of like maintaining balance throughout the entire fleet. But then the individual vehicles, they operate with multi-redundant sensors and navigation for autonomous management and navigation through the system. And so effectively, they're all moving with awareness of each other. And then the last sort of envelope that really assures ongoing reliable performance is we sense the entire corridor. So if there's an intrusion that could have impact on our vehicle's movements, we know ahead of time. We can anticipate that. We can mitigate against it. And therefore, we add, you know, triple, quadruple levels of redundancy to make sure, as he said, you can get a 10-minute ride every time.
And unlike Open Road, where Open Road solutions like Waymo, they have to imagine, they have to look at everything around them, whereas we just have to know the guideway and know, you know, something's coming over the fence. Oh, it's over the fence. Okay, cool. We're going to go around it.
We simplify the problem.
Yeah.
So that's,
are you done?
Yeah. That's a nice segue to my question. I think I wanted to follow up on one asked down here. When your vehicles in guideways are approaching any kind of crossing, and I'm thinking of pedestrian crosswalks, any pedestrian simply stepping into the street, what's the system for avoiding a collision?
Well, earlier Dustin referred to us like a highway. We're really more like a freeway. And the freeway, as we all understand, doesn't have at-grade crossings with pedestrians. Nobody bicycles on a freeway. We really need to dedicate that small space to our operations. So there won't be any at-grade pedestrians crossings. They'll either go under it or over it, will go over it or go under it. So we just really avoid those at-grade conflicts.
So imagining accessing Cabrillo College, mm-hmm. Dominican Hospital, mm-hmm. those would be below grade or above grade rather than at-grade?
It could be any of the above. And that's, we have the flexibility to assess any given location. The vehicles are small. They can overcome significant grade changes, so we can make those transitions. And it's going to be a site case-by-case sort of process.
You'll know we've been working on PRT issues for, by my notes, since my oldest are from 2000.
Okay.
And issues of above grade, uh-huh. you know, raised guideways become kind of an issue for visibility, impacts on neighborhoods, and so forth.
Yeah, no, we're very aware that this is going to be a new thing, a new big thing running through your community. The goal, of course, is to, you know, diminish the need for the other big spaces we allocate to automobiles, for one. And two, with the lower cap costs, we can turn those things into more than just an elevated causeway. We've talked about creating covered walkways for the public. We can create spaces underneath that for any number of different activities when we are in the air. And so it's, we're not just stuck by the constraints of extreme kind of budget control to only do one thing, we can actually provide this high value service with transportation and have a little bit of resources left to do the important things to make it a nice thing within the community.
Bike paths, walking pedestrian paths.
Exactly.
Yes, go ahead.
Two additional questions. As it pertains to like metrics, is there a number of passengers per day that you were looking for, for a successful project that you guys would be proposing? As well as wondering if there, if you guys would have any interest or consider leasing space from the RTC or a local government to privately operate the transportation system. And then lastly, if we were interested in the technology, what would be the next steps?
You want to answer any one of those?
So as far as number of passengers per day, I believe you guys are expecting around 6,000, I believe on the rail. We did a study with STEER for the San Jose project. They estimate that because of how cool the vehicles are and how easy they are to use, that there'll be about a 29 to 46% increase in ridership. So the numbers that you guys are expecting, we would absolutely do. And then what was the second question? Sorry. Oh, leasing the space?
Yes, totally. We're open to, we're small enough and flexible enough. We can work with the available real estate, available corridors, because, like I said, where that MSF facility goes, we can kind of like be strategic about that. The fleet size and the ridership goals, again, that's going to come out of more steps and study. And so to your last question, the questions you just posed would be a great part of an initial agenda to a follow-up, effectively a study session to sit down and listen to your thoughts about what you've heard today, about some of the other goals and challenges that this corridor development and the regional transportation sort of ambitions contain. And then we will see where and how we can fit and take something forward to kind of give it a little bit more structure. But again, as I mentioned at the very beginning, what we're trying to do today is find a seed of potential, compatibility and value.
Yeah, and we'd love, just as a follow-up, we'd love to have the board come to our site. It's probably a little over an hour and a half away. Actually ride the vehicles. We have mayors and city council and people out there almost every single week riding the system and experiencing it, because we just want you guys to see it and see where it could plug in.
Yeah, that's actually a really good next step. Yeah, riding it for real is amazing, just to watch people who experience coming in, skeptics coming out converted. So,
appreciate it.
Additional questions? No? Okay, I just have a quick question. Thank you for the presentation and thank you for being here today. I appreciated the opportunity to meet with you virtually previously and get a presentation from you. And I can certainly see the benefits of this as a feeder into transit modes, or perhaps on the freeway or Soquel. When we met, I had asked you if you are looking to be an alternative to passenger rail, and you said that that wasn't the case. In your slides today, it looks like that you mentioned freight rail, but it looks like there wouldn't be an opportunity for passenger rail if you're looking to be in the branch line. So can you just clarify for me if you are interested in being a feeder into transit modes or an alternative to some of the transit modes that we are already looking at?
From a high-level company strategic, we just want to get our place in the minds of people like you who are making these choices. Mm-hmm. We could certainly do the job of providing all the transit all the way through the corridor and the branches as well. But we don't want to, undo or presume to kind of ignore all the good work that's gone into developing this concept.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions? No? Okay, great. Thank you for your presentation, gentlemen. Yes. Do we have any?